Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for July 10th, 2019, looking at the second portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free people, and we were all caused to drink one Spirit. Furthermore, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, "Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body," it does not on that account cease to be part of the body. If the ear says, "Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body," it does not on that account cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has arranged the members in the body, each and every one of them, as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need for you," or again, the head to the feet, "I have no need for you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are much more necessary. As for the parts of the body we consider less honorable, these we provide with more honor. We treat our unpresentable parts with more modesty, whereas our presentable parts have no such need. But God put the body together in a way that gave more honor to the parts that lack it. He did it so that there might not be any division in the body, but that the members might all have the same concern for one another. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it, and God appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, healing gifts, helpful acts, leadership abilities, kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all miracle workers? Do all have healing gifts? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly seek the greater gifts. And now I am going to show you a more excellent way. This is the word of our God. It would perhaps be helpful to keep this section, this reading, in context with the rest of 1 Corinthians. Remember back to the very first chapter. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. Remember the previous chapter. They get together for the Lord's Supper, and those who are rich and wealthy bring their artisan breads and, you know, gallons of wine, of fine wine, and those who are, you know, slaves or had to work the entire day as a regular laborer, they show up with the rest of their crust of bread and the wine that they had saved from the day, from that day's allotment of wine. And they get together to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a place where they're all supposed to be equal. And there are the rich people getting drunk. There are the poor people going away hungry and thinking that this is okay. And so Paul, again, he highlights the blessing, the beauty, the value of the fellowship that we share. And in this chapter, and in these verses specifically, he goes to great pains to really correct their misunderstanding of what is most important in God's church. Because what we'll see again in chapter 14 is that there's this obsession with speaking in tongues. And we'll talk about speaking in tongues a little bit more in depth as to what it is and what was involved when we get to chapter 14. But it's most likely, you know, this evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit. And God was demonstrating that he was present there. And they were thinking that speaking in tongues was far and away better and more important than anything else, as though it's some personal, you know, feather in your cap or badge of honor that I speak in tongues. And Paul goes to great pains to say, you know what, even if you don't speak in tongues, there are different gifts, and eagerly desire the greater gifts, the gifts that are involved in a thorough explanation of the Word of God, not just speaking in tongues and babbling for oneself or one's own sake. And so what he does here, he bends over backwards to raise up the weaker and the more overlooked and those who seem to have fewer gifts. Paul prizes the tongues for himself and for his church. We'll talk about that in chapter 14. But you notice, especially in like verses 22 through 24, this is what Paul says. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are much more necessary. As for the parts of the body we consider less honorable, those we provide with more honor, we treat our unpresentable parts with more modesty, whereas our presentable parts have no such need. But God put the body together in a way that gave more honor to the parts that lack it. And when he does so, when he says that, he's reframing the entire argument, the entire discussion, that it's not a competition and that it's not some measurement of your worth in God's eyes or your value to the church. Quite to the contrary. The less brilliantly gifted members in the church are protected against the disregard and the contempt of the Corinthian admiration society, for lack of a better word. They like to admire the excellent speakers. We follow Apollos because he is such a brilliant, brilliant speaker. And that Paul, not so much. The analogy of the body's less honorable members enables Paul here to make two specific points. God, the Creator and Redeemer, has put the members of the body where they are, and he has made them an indispensable part of the entire organism. And so, with that kind of in the background, we begin to see what this part is all about. When he's talking about the body, and he verses 12 through 19, talking about the body. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the same body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. And you would expect him to say so also with the church. But the connection between Christ and his church is so close that he substitutes the word Jesus, really, for the church. So also is Christ. Where there should be no space for argument or dissension or pitting one gift against another or looking down on what I have or what I don't have. No, you have an indispensable part and a place in the body of Christ, of Jesus. Not just talking about your occupation or the task that you carry out within the church. But where do we serve? In the body of Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. There's absolute unity, not despite, but because of the diversity of the members of the body. And he really goes on and on about the analogy of the body, and imagine like a big old eye rolling down a street. We can't even have an eye without eyelashes and eyelids and tear ducts. Imagine stubbing a pinky toe. Or if you've ever had some sort of injury to your toenail, like on your big toe, and the pain that causes, or an aching tooth where there's just something not right with your tooth or something caught in there. You just can't sit until you have that thing all figured out, or you get the little piece of meat out from between the teeth. That's what Paul says here, that we, who are many, form one body. And those parts that seem to be less presentable, we treat with special modesty. And those parts that seem to be able to be overlooked and forgotten about, we devote special attention to. So what does that mean for the church? What does that mean for the body of Christ, which is the church? He says, take special care for each other. Because the fellowship that you share means that we are all on the same level. There is no competition when we come here. Quite to the contrary, We are united in Christ, despite our backgrounds, despite our disparities, despite what we have or don't have, despite what we have been given, and despite whatever our obligations may be. Set all that aside, you are united through Jesus. And the fellowship that we share is worth far more than any sort of competition, because competition among members of the body, it doesn't even make sense for your own personal body, and it's something that belongs only to this world, you know, the secular world, the competition, kind of dog-eat-dog and get ahead and use what I have for my own personal gain. And Paul says, not so with you. You are the body of Christ. And individually, you are members of it. So as you go about your day, think about the people that we haven't seen in a while. And it would be easy for some to maybe cop an attitude. Well, you know, I go to church, so I have more say here. It might be easy for some to say, well, you know, what has that person done for us lately? But that's not the attitude. Think of the unique contribution that that person brings, and even if you don't know what that is right now, what Paul is saying here is that every single person who is a member of our congregation brings a unique contribution to the body of Christ here at this place. And when they're not here, that part of the body is lacking. That part of the body is missing an appendix, is missing a finger, is missing some taste buds, whatever it may be. Each one of you is a member of the body of Christ together. You can find us tonight, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at 2250 South Holland Savina Road in Maumee. Also, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. You could also find us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. And if we show up in your newsfeed, just give us a like, a comment, and a share. God bless your day.